things to our minds, right? A lot of memories, and I mean, I could mention names of your family members, friends, past acquaintances, a lot of names, and automatically a name, you know, associates something in your mind with that person. But boy, there's never anything negative when the name of Jesus comes up. I mean, you can always find negative things about any other name. Amen. Especially when your own is brought up. But the name of Jesus, nothing but sweet, nothing but friend that sticketh closer than a brother, Savior, Redeemer, shelter. Oh man, so many wonderful things. Daniel chapter 5, if you would again, we'll revisit Daniel chapter 5 here tonight. Excuse me. If you would stand with me one last time as I read Daniel 5. Daniel 5, beginning in verse 1. Belshazzar the king made a great feast to 1,000 of his lords and drank wine before the 1,000. Belshazzar, whilst he tasted the wine, commanded to bring the golden and silver vessels which his father Nebuchadnezzar had taken out of the temple which was in Jerusalem. It's a sad thing to read. When you read that, if you don't understand what that just said, it said it which was in Jerusalem. The temple was destroyed. You know, they're going to rebuild a temple, and there will be a temple in Jerusalem during the millennial reign. There will be sacrifices offered just like there used to be in the Old Testament. And it will be nothing more than a form of worship. The Jews and Levites, they will be the priests, and the Levites that will work the temple sacrifices just like they did in the Old Testament. But listen, we get to see that temple. We get to see it. Don't worry, you're not going to have to kill any animals, ladies. Okay, the Jews are going to do that just like they did in the Old Testament. But there will be a temple. But it was destroyed in Jerusalem. And Belshazzar said, go get me, bring me the gold and silver vessels. And then verse 2 at the end there, the king and his princes, his wives, his concubines might drink therein. Then they brought the golden vessels that were taken out of the temple of the house of God, which was at Jerusalem. And the king, his princes, his wives, his concubines drank in them. Again, as I mentioned this morning, this man had never been denied anything. And that creates a monster. They drank wine, they praised the gods of gold, silver, brass, iron, wood, stone. In the same hour came forth fingers of a man's hand and wrote over against the candlestick upon the plaster of the wall of the king's palace. And the king saw the part of the hand that wrote. And then the king's countenance was changed. His thoughts troubled him. Just get the picture there. I mean, he's drunk. Right. What it really, the scene is vile. The scene is filthy, lewd, vile, unclean. And then the king's countenance and his thoughts are troubled. The joints of his loins were loosed. And the Bible literally says his knees smote one against another. And I want to preach to you and continue the thought from this morning on weak-kneed Christianity. Weak-kneed Christianity. Our Heavenly Father, Lord, I thank you for the good day, the grace. Lord, I love these people, and I pray you'd help me to be a help to them as you have been. And through this scripture, through these thoughts that you placed in my simple mind, my feeble heart, Lord God, I pray you'd help me to move me out of the way, dear God. Hide me behind the cross. May no one in this room hear from me, but may it be all Jesus speaking to the hearts, the lives of your people. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. Amen. You may be seated. As I mentioned, Belshazzar was a very intemperate man, a pleasure-seeking man, never having enough. He was an impetuous man. He had a thought and he ran with it. He gave no thought to the consequences of his decisions. He was an immoral man. He had all the wives and the concubines here and everyone, a thousand of his lords. He was an irreverent man. He had no respect for the vessels of the house of God. He had no respect for God. And by the way, when you don't have respect for the house of God, it's because you don't have respect for God. And the reason, amen, I'm not, oh boy, watch out. I'll be going on another direction right there. Wow, that was close. Whew. The Lord said, rein back in here. You put a leash around, come back over this way. But seriously, folks, the reason our country has no respect for the house of God, the reason our country has made churches a place of not much different than this palace, drinking wine at the Lord's Supper, getting tipsy in the house of God, getting drunk, amen, off the sins and the iniquities in their own hearts, and then treating the house of God as if it was just another place of residence or assembly. But because it's all because there's no respect for the God of the house. This man was irreverent. This man was idolatrous, obviously worshiping everything in the room. I mean, everything. He worshiped everything. Gold, silver, brass, iron, wood, stone. He worshiped everything. They all did. Everything in the room. And folks, that's what we said this morning. He was that way because he was so insecure. He had no security. Obviously, he's a lost man. He's an unsaved, reprobate mind, and he has no security in Christ. But understand something. That's the way that I see and that I believe that America is heading. That's the direction that America is heading. That's the direction that many churches are already have already arrived at. Just insecure, intemperate, impetuous, immoral, irreverent, and idolatrous. A nation of Belshazzars surrounds us today. In this man here in Belshazzar, we see a graphic portrait of what I will say the American male. I hesitate to call them men because that's the Bible describes a man in 1 Corinthians chapter 16, verse 13. The Bible says, "Watch ye, stand fast in the faith, quit you like men, be strong." God expects men to be different than ladies. God expects men to have a different personality, a different character, leadership, and courage. To watch in 1 Corinthians 16 means to stay alert and be sober. It means to keep your mind sharp. To stand fast in the faith means not to move from the faith. It means not to move from the truth, not to move. Stand fast in this book. The Bible says for men to watch, to stand fast in the faith, and to quit you like men. The word quit does not mean give up. It means to carry through. It means the exact opposite of giving up. It means to do or perform something to the end so that nothing remains. It means to discharge your duties and perform them completely. Belshazzar had a duty to rule the kingdom, and all he's doing is destroying himself and thousands of other people. The average American male. The average American man has a duty to be an example, a leader for his home, his wife, his children, but instead he is impetuously and irreverently and immorally destroying thousands of people. He says, quit you like men, be strong. Real strength does not come from a bottle. Real strength does not come from how many women you can conquer. Real strength only comes from God. Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of His might. Real strength comes from God. Anyone can get muscular strength in a gym. And by the way, that's what this world thinks strength is. But all that does is make a man vain and make a man fall in love with his body, and then he starts worshiping his body, and then he starts loving other men for their bodies. It is gross. It is sick. It is America. That's not the strength that God says. God says, quit you like men. Be strong. This is nothing like Belshazzar. Belshazzar is everything contrary to all of that. Right. In this chapter, we're looking at a kingdom that is taken over, and by the end of this night, this kingdom is conquered, and it's all because of its weak, kneed leader. Yeah, amen. Obviously, as I make application to our country, the condition of our country is due to the overall condition of our men. Insecure, intemperate, impetuous, immoral, irreverent, and idolatrous. Our country is weak-kneed because our men are weak-kneed. Our churches are weak-kneed because our men are weak-kneed. Our churches are weak-kneed because pastors are weak-kneed. We have a weak-kneed country because we have weak-kneed Christians. All six of these characteristics, insecure, intemperate, impetuous, immoral, irreverent, idolatrous, they're all six, they all appear right in the first four verses really of this chapter. And you see them right off the bat as you look into them. And but I want you to see something here. These first six characteristics also cause some other character flaws that show up a little bit later in the scripture. The first thing I see that is caused by these six character flaws in the life of Belshazzar is an incapability to understand God's message. Verse 6, the king's countenance was changed, his thoughts troubled him, so the joints of his loins were loosed, his knees smote one against another. He cried aloud to bring the astrologers, Chaldeans, soothsayers, and the king spake and said to the wise men, whosoever shall read this writing, show me the interpretation thereof. He was incapable of understanding the message. Here's a man who is intemperate, impetuous, immoral, irreverent, idolatrous, insecure, and let me just add, intoxicated. And because of that, he has no ability to understand the message from God. We have men today who have no ability to understand the book of God. We have men today who have no ability to understand the message of God because their lives are so completely far away from the Spirit of God. Because of those six first character flaws, we see another one. He's incapable of understanding the message of God. Oh, I could preach on all of these, but really I've got a lot more things to say. But he's also indifferent to the message. I want to show you something here at the end of the chapter. He heard everything about the interpretation. Daniel showed up and told this man everything that God had told him to tell him. Everything that message said, the man of God showed up like he's supposed to. The man of God showed up like he's supposed to, and he told the intoxicated crowd of fools and intemperate, insecure, impetuous, immoral, irreverent, idolatrous thousands of people, and the man of God showed up like he's supposed to, and he told them what God had to say. But I want you to notice something in verse 29. After Belshazzar received the interpretation, then commanded Belshazzar, they clothed Daniel with scarlet, put a chain of gold about his neck, made a proclamation concerning him, he should be the third ruler of the kingdom. In that night was Belshazzar, the king of the Chaldeans, slain. He never even thought about repenting. He was so far from God. Now, obviously, he's a lost man. But I want you to see him. The principle is the same, dearly beloved. That when hearts get so hard and get so far away from truth, they're incapable of understanding the message. And then when they hear the message, they are absolutely indifferent. Daniel told him, this kingdom is going to be taken from you tonight. And the man did nothing to try to fix it. The man didn't even respond to it. He was so completely indifferent to the message. And as we look around our country today, as we look around churches today, dearly beloved, I haven't been preaching in this thing for so long, as long as what you just heard, Brother Ogdy, but I'm telling you right now, dearly beloved, there's enough experience in this pulpit standing right here tonight to tell you that I've tried to preach in churches across this country. I've tried to preach in churches across America, and I've tried to make people know the message of God, and we are dealing with a country of indifferent, apathetic hearts because we're weak. He's incapable of understanding the message. He's indifferent to the interpretation. And because of that, he's incompetent to defend himself. That night, verse 30, Belshazzar, the king of the Chaldeans, was slain. Darius the Mede took the kingdom. I mean, there is no mention. I mean, you study the history of this thing. It's incredible. While they were in that palace drinking and doing their thing, Darius and his army was Babylon. Babylon was a very well-constructed city, and it had a river running through it. It had the river, I believe it's the Euphrates, running through the city. Obviously, for obvious reasons, for drinking and for crops and things like that. But Darius the Mede was up on the hill. I'm giving you the very, very condensed version. He literally stopped the water, diverted the water, and came into the city where the water had come through before. It's an amazing study. It's not in the Bible, but it's historically accurate. This happened. This was real. But what I'm saying to you is that while Belshazzar is drinking himself into a stupor and doing and being who he just being who he is, he's incompetent to defend himself against the adversary. Are y'all with me tonight? No defense. Incompetent. As far as I can tell, now, obviously, when you read the historical depictions and read the history of this city of Babylon and this nation and the fall of Babylon that night, you see that there was some resistance. Obviously, there were soldiers, you know, standing guard and things like that. But Belshazzar, he was slain, and he didn't even know what was happening. He didn't even know what had happened. There are too many weak-kneed Christians in our country, and there's too many weak-kneed men, and because men are not raising children to honor God, and pastors are not preaching the Bible to honor God, we are now living in a generation of absolutely, teetotally, completely indifferent people who are incompetent to defend themselves against the adversary. And he's coming in ways that we would never have imagined, diverting the water, coming in under the walls of the city. He Darius the Mede here. I'm just saying he was a mastermind. This was a tremendous strategy. But the devil has his devices, folks, and we are not ignorant of his devices. The Bible says. But when we get away from the Bible, when we get away from the truth, and we become the weak-kneed Christians that America has become, we are incompetent to defend ourselves. He comes in easily. He takes over, and we're not even aware of what's going on. As I stand here tonight and I preach to this church, obviously I know that none of us are exempt from this danger. None of us are exceptions from the flesh that's in all of us, that Belshazzar still is in every one of us, even though we're saved, born again by the blood of Christ. As I mentioned this morning, so many of us are insecure, and that insecurity causes so many other failures in our character that dishonor God and cause us to become weak. And what I'm trying to get to you tonight is to understand, as I mentioned this morning, we cannot become, and we cannot allow ourselves, number one, to ever be imitators of Belshazzar. Now you say, preacher, come on, that is a crazy picture. There's no way I could ever find myself in that kind of situation. But these character flaws are the same whether or not you're drinking in a palace somewhere or whether you're just sitting in your palace in your lounge chair. Aside from the intoxication, which, by the way, is not completely unheard of in our Baptist churches, but as far as I know, sitting before me, there's not this issue, but that's not the point. The point is this. Even though Belshazzar was a man, a lost man, an unsaved man, these character flaws, these ungodly traits are gender neutral. He was insecure. We have Christ in us, dearly beloved. We don't need the applause of man. We don't need to try to please man. If we live to please man, we shall not be the servants of Christ. He was insecure. We do not have to fear what man shall do in us. I preached all that this morning, but I want you to get a hold of that. If nothing else today, stop being insecure in who you are in Christ. Stop being insecure in what you know to be true based on the Word of God. The Word of God is the truth, the way, and the life. It is it. The Word of God. We do not have to doubt or fear what man shall do unto us. We do not have to worry about what they think about us. We must stand secure in the promises of God. Otherwise, we're going to find ourselves intemperate. The fruit of the Spirit is temperance. We can't be led about by the intemperate flesh. We're going to find ourselves impetuous. Folks, impetuous, again, as I mentioned this morning, it's just a knee-jerk, let everything... impetuous is Peter when he rebuked Jesus and said, no, you're not going to go to the cross. Impetuous, dearly beloved, the opposite of impetuous is diligent. Diligent. Diligence must be our character, not hasty impetuousness. Diligently searching the Scriptures, seeking God's face, diligently walking with God, diligently trusting God in every decision, diligently seeking His face in the Bible to find out what He wants for us to do. Impetuous is just going off the first instinct that you have. You realize your instinct may not be based on anything but you. We cannot imitate Belshazzar. In any way, we cannot be insecure. We dare not be intemperate. If we let the intemperance in our flesh rule our decisions, we'll be impetuous. And dearly beloved, you will find yourself sooner or later in some form, some level of immorality. We cannot allow the nudity of this world to continue to flow through our minds and our eyes from the television. It's just as immoral to look upon a woman who's immodestly dressed. It's immoral to commit adultery with her in your heart as it is to literally go out and do it in person. Right. Independent Baptist pastors addicted to pornography. Are you kidding me? No, I'm not kidding you. Why? I'm telling you why. Because we're weak. But ladies, it's not just men. It's not just men. You say, oh, come on, Pastor, that's crazy. No, it's not crazy. It's not why are there so many lesbians if it's just men?
Right.
We've got to stay off the internet, the pornography, the nudity on the television, the social media, all the garbage that goes on, and all of that mess, dearly beloved. It makes our minds utterly immoral.
Yes.
Amen. I'll say amen right there.
Amen.
We cannot imitate Belshazzar in any one of his character flaws. We cannot be irreverent. We cannot be irreverent. We cannot treat the house of God as if it was just another place. We cannot treat the vessels of God as if, listen, by the way, I want you to remember your body's a vessel.
Right.
Your body is a vessel of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
And it's irreverent to treat your body as if it was nothing. It's irreverent to mark up your body and cut up your body and pierce your body and put all kinds of filthy marks all over your body. It's irreverent to put on clothes on your body that disgrace and dishonor God. It's irreverent. Your body is a vessel of the Holy Spirit. Your body belongs to God. It's irreverent to come into the house of God and treat it like it's no big deal. It's irreverent to come into the house of God and not be a part of working and serving and tithing and giving so that this house of God can continue to stay open. It's irreverent to treat it like it's your house and you just come into the house of God and you do whatever you want to do and let everybody else take care of it. That's irreverent.
Yeah.
Cannot be idolatrous. They worship the gods of everything in the room. By the way, more gold and silver is not the answer to your problems. Oh, if I could just get men to hear that. If I could just get men to hear that right there, if I could just get God's people to understand that gold and silver is not the answer to your problems. More money is not the, let me just put it in your terminology, American, okay, gold and silver, preacher, I don't have, okay, money. Money is not the answer to our problems. If we think more money is the answer to our problems, we are idolaters.
Yes, we are. Right.
Are you with me tonight?
Amen.
And that's why our country has become so incredibly weak. We are indifferent to the message of God. We are intemperate in the things of the Spirit of God. We are incompetent to defend ourselves. Are you finally getting the picture? Are you seeing what I'm trying to get across? These things make us incapable of even understanding the message. And even when we do understand it, the preacher says it plain as day, gives us the sense, gives us the understanding. It's like, you need some sign language. I'm being silly, sorry, y'all. I'm just trying to loosen you up. You're getting awfully tight here, amen. But seriously, folks, Belshazzar. Belshazzar is the average American man. And it's sad, but it even in the churches of God, the ones who call themselves Christians, we can never be an imitator of Belshazzar. Number two, we can never get involved personally with Belshazzar. Oh. There were 1,000 lords at this feast. There were all the princes and wives and concubines. Who knows how many people? Belshazzar had money. He had power. He had clout. He could easily find people to come to his drunken fest. And the magnetic personality of an ungodly man can find Christians all over this country to join him in his ungodly deeds.
Yes, yes.
You see, although I may not be participating, and you certainly can never accuse me of being an imitator of Belshazzar, but boy, how many Belshazzars are you hanging out with?
Right.
How many Belshazzars are your friends? The Bible says, he that walketh with wise men shall be wise, but a companion, just a simple companion of fools, right, shall be destroyed.
Yes.
These lords, these thousands of lords and all of these other people, right along Belshazzar that night, were overtaken just like he was. They were overtaken. Now, we don't know that they were slain like he was, but they were overtaken. Their kingdom was overtaken. All of their comforts, they were destroyed and conquered just like Belshazzar was. Why? Simply because they were there with him. They were not necessarily doing everything, but I mean, we can gather they were, but maybe one of them said, I don't want anything to drink tonight. No, I don't think I'm going to worship that God. No, but what are you doing in the room? Now, you're going to get mad at me or you're not, but that's fine. But this right here would make a rated R Hollywood movie.
Right.
And you're watching it.
Right.
And you're watching it.
Right. Right.
You're hanging out with them.
Mm-hmm.
Belshazzar's all over social media. I mean, he's all over Facebook. And God's people are friends with him.
Right.
You see, that's just, you know, we are, listen, dearly beloved, we are losing the battle. Because, by the way, let me remind you, their entire kingdom was overthrown. She said, preacher, wait a minute, we're secure in Christ. Your salvation is, but what is that? What about your future? What about your generations to come? What about your children? What about your testimony? What about America? What about your church? What about, listen, there's not just you involved here. The entire kingdom was demolished, overtaken, overturned, conquered. These thousand lords and all these people that were involved with him were toppled just like he was. You cannot be friends and be personally involved with insecure, intemperate, immoral, irreverent, idolatrous, indifferent, impetuous people. We cannot. We are called to come out from among them and be separate and touch not the unclean thing. And that's still in the Bible.
Amen.
Nobody wants to preach that anymore. Preacher, I'm not like that. So I'm trying to win them to Christ. Can I say this to you? The exception proves the rule. Here's what people tell me. People that are all over the social media, and they make the excuse, well, preacher, you know, I got this one and this guy, and he heard about it and he came to church and he got saved. Oh, good. And here's what they're saying. Well, look, you know, we can wade through all of the other Belshazzar's behavior and all the other intemperate, intolerant, and impetuous filth for that one soul, and that's not what God says. When you tell me that, well, one person got saved through that media, what you're telling me is there was one exception to the rule. The exception proves the rule. The exception proves the rule. The exception is not the rule. It proves the rule. The rule is that everybody else is Belshazzar. We try to make and base our arguments on the exception instead of the rule. The rule is right here. The rule is right here. Amen. Exceptions to this are not do anything but prove the rule.
Right.
Never get involved with Belshazzar.
Right.
keep thyself pure. Never be imitators, of course, but what about getting involved with him? And finally, and number three, not finally just yet, don't get excited. Number three, never be intimidated by Belshazzar. Again, Belshazzar had power, clout. I mean, listen, Hollywood runs our country. Social media runs our country. They work, they're in bed with each other. You realize that, right? Social media controls the minds of America, of the world, really. But it's controlling the minds of God's people. Christians are dressing according to what they see on television and other people's Facebook page. Because their friend said, hey, look at this. You said, preacher, well, that's just for the young generation. Oh, no, you're lying to yourself. You ain't got a clue. Everybody is sucked into this pit. And we are intimidated. Because it's a very powerful pool. Belshazzar had power. He had clout. He offered them, hey, don't miss this. He offered them pleasure, fun, relaxation, relationships. If you're finding your relationships on there, dearly beloved, again, I'm going back to the same, but you're in trouble. Belshazzar is offering these people anything and everything they could desire because that's all he's ever had. And now, because, again, as his insecurity, he's drawing them all in. And listen to me. Let me just wake you up here if you're not aware of this. People whose life revolves around Facebook are the most insecure people in this world. Because they've got to have friends and make friends with people that they don't even know who they are. They've got to gather everybody around them just like Belshazzar. Why? Because they're so insecure. And so, well, I'm not getting involved with that. Okay, but here's the thing. Don't let it intimidate you either. It's still evil. It's still evil. Let me just remind you, the kingdom falls. They do not go forth and conquer. They are conquered. We have got... I've read the back of the book, folks. We win. Why are we so intimidated by the likes of Belshazzar? This irreverent, idolatrous, intemperate, impetuous, immoral, indifferent man, he loses. He perishes. One of the main reasons God's people get involved with him is because they're too intimidated to stand up to him. Don't be dismayed, dearly beloved, because Belshazzar's all around you. Don't be dismayed. Be not dismayed, whate'er betide. God will take care of you. Be not dismayed, for I am with thee. The Bible says that God is always, never leave us nor forsake us. But we get intimidated because Belshazzar has such a crowd, folks. He has such a crowd, and they're having so much fun. But one day they're going to find themselves overtaken. Get a hold of what the end of the story is here. The end of the chapter, this man is dead.
Right.
Amen. In hell. Mm-hmm. But it's intimidating because there's so many of them. And look, if you were to look in that room, and if you were to just kind of gaze into that room up through a window that night, you would see, wow, man, I never have that much fun. All I do is go to church and go soul winning and read my Bible and
praise the Lord. Amen.
And that's what happens, folks. We gaze into a room where it seems like everyone's so happy. Oh. And in our insecurity, we think, why can't I have that? And you know what I'm talking about. Remember, God says, stand fast in the faith. Quit ye like men. Be strong. Can I remind you, it took no strength to show up at Belshazzar's place that night and just participate in everything. It takes no strength to be like everybody else. It takes no strength to just be a dead piece of driftwood floating downstream. Any old dead piece of driftwood can float downstream. It takes no strength at all. It takes no godliness at all. It's not what you call a man by making everybody else happy around you. What it is to be a man is to be strong in the Lord and to finish the work that God's given you to do. It doesn't take any strength to show up at Belshazzar's place and be his best buddy. By the way, do you think he really cares about 1,000 lords? Do you think he knew their names? Do you think he was really concerned about their welfare? It was all about him. And it's still all about them today. And they're intimidating you, making you think that they care about you, offering you fun and pleasure and parties and all kinds of loose living. And you cannot be intimidated by that mess. It's a lie straight out of hell. It's not about you. It's about them. It's about their filthy, vile lust in their hearts. But they're going to put a twist on it to make you think it's all about you and making you improving your life.
Yeah.
I went by the field of the slothful man, by the vineyard of the man void of understanding. And lo, it was all grown over with nettles and with thorns and covered the face thereof, and the stone wall was broken down. Why? Because he looked into Belshazzar's palace and he thought, Belshazzar has something better than my vineyard. And he decided to spend all his time in Belshazzar's house instead of working the vineyard that God has given him. Amen. Because we get intimidated because we're insecure. We get involved with them because we're insecure. And then before you know it, we're imitating them. Let me say to you next, we must never be imitators of Belshazzar, but we must never even be personally involved with Belshazzar, and we must never be intimidated by Belshazzar. And can I say, lastly, we must always be an interpreter for Belshazzar. We must be an interpreter for Belshazzar. There was one solitary man in that room. There was one man. Let me say that again. Some of you caught that. There was one man in that room. Not at the beginning of the chapter. There was none at the beginning. There was one that showed up later. For one reason, to interpret the message. Not to get involved, not to imitate, not to be intimidated, but to interpret the message. We must be always ready to let Belshazzar know exactly what God says. Oh, I like this part. Verse 13 says, then was Daniel brought in. Oh, now things are starting to get good. Then was Daniel brought in before the king. Oh, I could go so many directions with that. There's so many kings in this world today that people are serving. So many kings, so many idols. But dear God in heaven, when it's your time to be brought in before them, what are you going to do? When God brings you in before them, what are you going to do? You can't sugarcoat the message. I mean, think, go to the palace with me again. Think about Daniel. Now, at this point, the music has stopped. The wine is no longer flowing freely. Everyone is, well, troubled in their minds. And here comes Daniel. And he's scanning the room. Thousands of people. Drunkenness. Nudity. Unimaginable filth. And there's Belshazzar, the king. The king. And he sees everybody white as a sheet, pale. And he's thinking in his mind, I have got to tell them the truth. So many times we see a scene like that, and we see people so lost in their sin, so deep in iniquity. Their trespasses have separated them from God. They're so vile. They're so immoral. They're so filthy. They're wretched. And we are brought in before them, whether it be on a soul-winning visit, whether it be at a workplace, whether it be a family member. We see somebody so steeped in idolatry and immorality and impetuous insecurity and all the things that we've talked about tonight. And we get intimidated. And we think, I can't tell them the truth. They're going to think I'm some kind of cold, insensitive, heartless. That's not the right response.
Right.
I just said a minute ago, you cannot be intimidated by the likes of Belshazzar.
Right.
We must be interpreters for them. There was one man that walked in, and he did not sugarcoat the message. He did not water down the message. He did not make Belshazzar out to be a hero. He did not make God to be some kind of little old grandpa who loves everybody. He shot straight at the heart of the man and told him exactly what God said.
Right. Amen.
God help us, give us more Daniels. He wasn't disrespectful, but he told it like it was.
Yeah.
Let's look at the message. Jump down to verse 26. Verse 25. And this is the writing that was written, Mene, Mene, Tekel, Upharsin. And this is the interpretation of the thing. Mene, this is Daniel speaking now. God hath numbered thy kingdom and finished it. Well, here he is, Belshazzar, the king in the palace. I mean, the vessels of God, all just including the candlestick, just all over the place, full of wine. There's things all over the floor. Everybody again is partying, living it up. in the flesh pot of sin. This is the greatest, don't miss it, this is the greatest world power in the world power at the time in all of the world. There was none greater than Belshazzar. And he said, God hath numbered thy kingdom and finished it. What's our message today as soul winners to these people who think they are impervious to judgment? What's our message today to these people who think they are above God? It's the same one. You know what it is? Your days are numbered. You're going to die. You don't love me. What kind of Christian are you? What about grace? There you go, the intimidation factor.
Right.
Oh, you're right. Wait, let me back off of that. You're right. Maybe I'm just a little bit too caught up. No. Let's just water this down a little bit. You just need to get better. And then you just become Belshazzar.
Yeah.
I mean, I still go back to the image in your mind. Don't forget, he is surrounded by thousands of immoral, intoxicated, wicked people with a lot of power. And he says, your days are numbered. Still the message today, folks. It's still the message today, church.
Amen.
Look at the second part of this message. He says, verse 27, tickle, thou art weighed in the balances and art found wanting. You know what the message is today? Moving into 2020 for soul winners is all your best works, all your best deeds will never be enough.
Right.
Go ahead. Do everything you can to become good. But the Bible says all your deeds are weighed in the balances and they are found wanting. You can never measure up to the holiness and righteousness and sinless, undefiled perfection of God Almighty.
Amen. Amen.
That's the message today.
Amen.
And somebody needs to stand up and interpret it for this lost and dying Belshazzar world. Where are the men preaching this message? By the way, there was only one in this room.
Right.
So don't expect to be a majority when you're preaching this message to Belshazzar. Don't expect to be popular when you're preaching this message to Belshazzar. Don't expect to fit in. He said, your days are numbered. All your best works, all your deeds will never be sufficient.
Amen.
He said, verse 28, perish, thy kingdom is divided and given to the Medes and Persians. I want you to notice, thy kingdom is divided. How does this apply to us today? Here it is. All you hold dear, everything you cherish and hold dear is already condemned.
Already.
That doesn't sound like the typical gospel preacher, does it? That doesn't sound like the typical gospel message. That's because we're weak-kneed. That's because Belshazzar has changed the message, has made us, intimidated us into changing the message. Because we're so outnumbered, because he's so powerful, because he's got so many followers, because he has done so much and conquered so many people, we're intimidated, so therefore we don't interpret the message like it is. And I think you know what I'm talking about.
Amen.
We're scared into a cave.
Yeah.
We're scared into a nice little gentler and kinder message.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, y'all get quiet on me, that's all right. But you understand, this is still the message today.
Amen. That's right.
This is still the message today.
Yeah.
Your days are numbered, buddy. And no matter how good you think you are, no matter how many good deeds you do, it's never going to compare to God's holiness.
Right.
And everything you are holding on to and counting dear, your house, your car, your life, is already condemned.
Right.
It's already condemned.
Right.
It's not a matter of you wait. It's already condemned.
Yeah.
It's gone.
Yeah. Amen.
That's still the message today. Where are the Daniels today? That's the question. The Daniels are knocking their knees. By the way, you don't see Daniel's knees knocking.
No.
You see a man standing upright, erect, speaking clearly,
right,
with a message from God in the face of all of that.
Yeah.
Where are the Daniels today? Well, they've defected to Belshazzar's team. Where are the Daniels today? Well, they're friends with Belshazzar on Facebook, and they're just trying to win a hearing. By the way, that didn't come from this book.
Right.
Win a hearing. Preach the gospel. If I lost you, listen, I'm sorry, but this is still right.
Yeah.
They're friends with Belshazzar. They're not in the middle of his life preaching the gospel to him. They're friends with him. They're sharing little quits and quotes on Facebook with him.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm talking about. Preachers, pastors are friends with Belshazzar on the same Facebook page. And I guarantee you, they're not going to stand up and tell him the truth. They're going to soft shoe it, water it down, dilute it, compromise it. Why? Because they're in the palace with him during the party. Did you just catch what I just said? They're in the palace with him in his realm on his social media page when he's living in sin. They're right there with him.
Yeah.
I think, well, I've got to befriend them. A companion of fools shall be destroyed.
Right.
Elijah. Oh, man. Walked up the mountain, Mount Carmel, that day. One man. He had his little servant with him. One man. He said, how long halt ye between two opinions?
Right.
I want you to notice something in this story. After Daniel was brought in, he answered the king in verse 17, and I'm not going to read all of it for sake of time. The Bible says in verse 20, Daniel was speaking to Belshazzar about his father, Nebuchadnezzar, his grandfather. When his heart was lifted up and his mind hardened in pride, he was deposed from his kingly throne, and they took his glory from him. And he was driven from the sons of men. His heart was made like the beast. His dwelling was with the wild asses. They fed him with grass like oxen. His body was wet with the dew of heaven till he knew that the Most High God ruled in the kingdom of men and that he appointed over it whomsoever he will. Now look at verse 22, though. And thou, his son, O Belshazzar, hast not humbled thine heart, though thou knewest all this. The folks in that room, even Belshazzar, knew what God had done. And I'm simply saying to you tonight, dearly beloved, as we close, knowing the truth is not enough. The world needs to hear it over and over again, and they just need to see somebody living it. Belshazzar knew. The message is the same today. The gospel is the good news. You say, now some of you, I know Romans chapter 10 says the gospel is good news, glad tidings of good news, peace and good things. And I understand that. Of course it is. But let me also remind you, compare scripture with scripture. Don't get caught up, amen, in just one verse. Isaiah 57, 21 says, there's no peace, saith my God, to the wicked. Isaiah 32, 17 says it this way, the work of righteousness shall be peace. It's only good news of glad tidings and peace and good things if a person comes to Christ, amen, and then there's peace because he hath made him who knew no sin to be made sin for us that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. So the only way I can have peace is not just by being a gospel preacher, but the world will never have peace just because the people know about Jesus. They're going to have to come to a place of humbling themselves and being born again and being converted from darkness to light and from sin to righteousness, and then and only then can there be peace in their heart. But they have to be told the truth about their unrighteousness first. God give us more Daniels. God give us men like Daniel. He was all by himself in that room. Drunken harlots, whoremongers, rebels. Again, they knew what God had done. We need Christianity. Oh, we may not be imitating him, but we're personally involved with him because we're too intimidated by him. And we won't interpret the message like it is to him. And therefore, our knees are just as weak as his. Belshazzar's basic character traits revealed to us right away at the beginning: insecure, intemperate, impetuous, immoral, irreverent, and idolatrous. This man's character caused him to be incapable of discerning the message, indifferent when it was revealed to him, and therefore incompetent to defend against his adversary. God help us today to be willing to be Daniel. Amen. Otherwise, dearly beloved, I want you to notice verse 17, Daniel said, "Let thy gifts be to thyself, and give thy rewards to another." Right. Why? Because Daniel's one and only God was Jehovah. Right. And Belshazzar had nothing that he could offer Daniel to make him change. Amen. Our Heavenly Father, that's the message tonight. Lord, help me to be like Dan.